looking at the agenda, excuse me, looking at the agenda, we have to approve this agenda. Has everyone seen the agenda? Are you looking on the screen? Because I had a printed agenda from last week and we didn't meet, of course. Has everyone seen the agenda? Has everyone?
Yes, I see it. This is Eric.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Yeah. Miley, second the motion.
Also, it's been moved that the agenda be approved and it's been seconded. Would you give your names, please, for the record?
Eric, motion to approve.
Miley, seconded.
Thank you. Now let's vote on that. Everyone in favor of the approval of the minutes, I mean, not the minutes, but the agenda, say aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
Okay, the agenda is approved. Next item on the agenda is the action items. Now we want to approve the minutes from the meeting of February 17, 2022. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes? Anyone need to witness of the minute? You all have seen and read the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve. This is Eric.
Is there a second to that motion?
Armand, I second.
Okay, the minutes, it's been a motion made to approve the minutes and it's been seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? There being no opposition, the minutes is approved. Now, next item is item two, fiscal year 2023 update. Let's look at that. Can I give us a report on that, please?
Yeah, this is Wangoda. Good afternoon. And I would give the presentation on this. Okay. The fiscal year 2023 Unified Planning Work Program is the staff work program. It covers the revenue stream and then the staff tasks for the next fiscal year, which starts on July 1st and ends on June 30th of 2023. The UPWP outlines the revenue streams that includes both the Federal Highway Formula Grants, which is the PL grants, and the Federal Transit Administration, FTA Section 5303 funding. So for the 5303 funding, we are pretty certain how much we will get for the next fiscal year because we do the funding application in November of last year. So at that time, GDOT gave us a figure. But for the Federal Highway Planning Funds, we actually didn't know. So the direction we got from GDOT is just assume it would be the same funding level as fiscal year 2022, which was $360,000. And with the local match, it becomes $450,000. But in March 2022, this year, we did get the updated cost, updated revenue actually for the PL funding grant. So the federal portion is $428,000, with local match becomes $535,000. So between 450, the assumed figure, and then the 535, the actual figure, we actually is adding about $85,000 to the budget. So what are we going to use the funds for? We decided to divide the $85,000 in between two tasks. One task is the administration and operation, including all of the meetings. And another one is for system planning, which includes the MTP update, TIP development maintenance, freight plan, congestion management process, etc. So besides that $85,000, we were notified by GDOT that some additional funds will become available in fiscal year 2023. And that is the increasing safe and accessible transportation options funds. So the federal portion is about $10,000. And with local match, the total is about $13,000. So we are basically adding that $85,000 plus this $13,000 into the UPWP. And the $85,000 will be divided between two funding tasks, administration and system planning and operation. And then the $13,000 will be added into the increasing safe and accessible transportation. And this increase in safe and accessible transportation, we have to create a new project page for this. And we are going to use these funds for the non-motorized transportation plan update and the thoroughfare plan update. So this is the updated project page. For this specific task and GDOT, we have a different funding contract. So as you can see, we will use these funds to for the plan update. So basically, we are requesting the CEC to endorse the proposed UPWP amendments to include the additional available regular PL, formula PL grant funds, and then the additional funds from this increasing safe and accessible transportation options. Any questions?
Any questions? Not hearing any questions. Is there a motion to accept the staff recommendation?
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Tony Abbott.
Is there a second motion?
Second, this is Eric.
Okay, it's been properly moved and seconded. Now we can vote on it. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye, Miley.
Any opposed? Hearing opposition and the ayes carry, the motion is approved.
Thank you.
Welcome. Now the next item on our list is April.
We have both highway and the transit transportation improvement program amendments in April. So I will just outline, we are still in the 15-day public comment period, which ends on Wednesday. So some of this information is still subject to finalization, especially for the transit portion. So I'll just go through each one of those very quickly. So basically for the highway amendments, the impacted project is Truman Park Trail Phase 2B, Old River Road Improvement Project, Chavez Road Improvement Project, Gerard Avenue Improvement, and then the project drain. Transit projects involves the Section 5307 and 5307H program. So let me just go through the highway projects first. For the Truman Park Trail Phase 2B, basically, because City of Savannah included a right-of-way phase, because the previously this project didn't involve any right-of-way purchase, but now since the right-of-way four parcels will be added, so that prolonged the project schedule. So in a sense, the construction cannot start until fiscal year 2023. So we are moving the construction phase from 2022 to fiscal year 2023. And the funds being moved are these 301 funds, and then CRESA funds, because we went through the call for projects and this project got both funding sources. So we are basically moving the Z30 funds and CRESA funds from fiscal year 2022 to fiscal year 2023 without impacting the cost estimates. So when City of Savannah has an official updated cost estimate, we will amend that later. And then for the next one, the Old River Road project, this project has about 1.6 mile located in Chatham County, another 1.6 mile located in Effingham County, supposedly to be a joint project. Chatham County was ready to go, but Effingham County didn't secure the funds on their side. Because that portion of Old River Road in Effingham County is not located within the core MPO's planning boundary, so we cannot use our federal dollars. And they haven't identified their local funds. So even if Chatham County wants to proceed, there wouldn't be, the county line wouldn't be the logical termini. So the FHW will not approve that. So we decided to just delay this project until Chatham County, until Effingham County got their portion of the funds. So that means the current funds programmed for this project, PE funds in fiscal 2022, $560,000 in 2022 will be released, In 2023, about $2 million of Z230 funds will be released. So the fiscal year 2023 funds will be put into the pot for the call for projects, and the $560,000 released will be put into Girard Avenue project and Chevers Avenue project. So basically, we're deleting Old River Road project from the TIP. For the Chevers project, it will get part of the funds from the released Old River Road project. So it will be added in fiscal year 2022 for the PE phase. And for the Girard Avenue project, it will also get the remaining of the funds, Z230 funds released from Old River Road, and also added in fiscal year 2022. For the PE phase. And the last one is the project Durain. Because it is located in the environmental justice area, so the federal environmental EIS, environmental impact statement, so that process requires that the city of Savannah conducts additional EJ analysis that will require some additional funds. So in additional PE funds in amount of about $1 million. So part of that funds will come from the HIP funds, which will expire on September 2022. And part of that will come from additional Z230 funds, actually some old Z230 funds that we became aware of. So GDOT was trying to roll out, and then the city of Savannah will provide the local match. We already got confirmation that City of Savannah will provide the local match. For the Section 5307 program, basically, we're replacing the partial funding with the actual allocation. So the partial funding used to be about $5 million. So the actual allocation is more than $6 million. So we are updating that. And then we will also update some of the programs under each program. So like this. So previously you have like planning in fiscal year 2022, you only have $406,000, and now it's like $906,000. So it's just something. So it's just besides the total funding upgrade, and we are also doing some not minor changes, some categorical planning programming information updates. And then the 5307, we are moving we're moving the funds that was programmed in fiscal year 2024, advanced to fiscal year 2022 per CAT request. But as I indicated, we're still working with CAT on finalizing all the transit amendment information, because it's like CAT has a staff changes, we have staff changes. So new staff probably not quite familiar with the process. So between the communication, some of the information might be lost in translation. So we're still working with CAD. So hopefully we will just get that fixed tomorrow. But basically, this TIP amendments would involve like four projects, both highway projects and transit projects, as I indicated earlier. And as outlined over here. So Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B, we are moving the construction phase to 2023. Old River Road Improvement Project, we're deleting that project. And then the Chevers Road Improvement Project, and we'll get additional PE funds in fiscal 2022. And then the Girard Avenue Project, we'll also get additional PE funds in 2022. And then Project Durain will have additional PE funds in fiscal 2022 as well. And then for the transit improvements, just making changes to Section 5307 and Section 5307H programs. We would just ask the CAC to endorse these proposed TIF amendments subject to our finalization with the CAT corrections.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Is that, I'm not jumping the gun.
That's okay. Anyone want to second that? This has been moved. That we endorse the staff recommendation. We have a real move motion on the floor. Anyone want to second that motion?
Armand Turner, I second.
Okay. Anyone want to discuss that? Let's go to a vote then. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
That's two ayes, maybe others, but I hate no opposition. So the motion carries. We can move on to the next item. We need to see the agenda. Can't see the agenda right now. Get the agenda back on screen. The agenda.
Yeah, Ms. Chim, you need to move closer to the speaker.
Okay, can we get the agenda on the screen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Otherwise, the tape couldn't get, yeah.
Okay. We need to see the next item.
Oh, next item. Okay, okay.
I can't see it on the screen. Okay,
oh,
now I
okay,
can see
yeah.
it now. Okay. Item three. So we're down to what?
Status reports.
Status reports. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, core regional freight transportation plan update. Someone report on that, please.
Yeah, I will keep on talking. The freight plan update. We got awarded about $240,000 of discretionary PL or planning funds for an update, and then with the local match provided by the MPO, the cost for the study would be around $300,000. We did a call for request for proposals, and then three consulting firms actually applied, and then the TCC actually was a consultant selection and review committee actually reviewed the proposals and conducted interviews. And finally, we decided that Cambridge Systematics will be the top ranked consulting firm. So we have been doing the negotiation with the consulting firm about the detailed scope of services and fees. So finally, that has been finalized on April the 12th. So we have already executed, MPC has already executed funding contract with GDOT, and then MPC in turn executed funding contract with Cambridge Systematics to conduct the study. And the kickoff meeting is this Friday. So this study will take about from April to August of next year. So it will be done. So if I said the update we expect to be completed by the end of October, that's according to the contract, but the schedule actually might be earlier than that. So the final recommendations will be fit into the development of the 2050 long-range transportation plan. So we will keep you up, probably, I think in June, you will see first a set of data analysis, probably. So, but now it's just the starting. We issued the call for, we issued the notice to proceed last week. So we'll be kicking off this week. So.
This not being an action item, it's getting to us for information.
It's just the status, yeah.
Status report.
Yeah, it's a status report.
Anyone have a question for her concerning what she said? Any questions?
And this is for the freight movement, yeah. Freight plan update.
Okay, can we go on to the next status report?
The next status report is the US 80 corridor study, and Pooler got awarded $285,000 to conduct this study. In responding to the call for project for the CRESA funds. So the study limit is from Chatham County and Effingham County line from the west, and it go all the way passing through Bloomingdale, Pooler, Garden City, City of Savannah, unincorporated Chatham County. So we will find out what kind of improvements will need to be done on US 80 as a corridor. Probably it's also a freight corridor, and also there are some kind of congestions as well. So Pooler will be the project manager, They actually in the RFP process right now, they issued the RFP in March, and we are still in the RFP process. And then after the May 2nd deadline, the review committee will review the received proposals and then rank the consultants and then probably award the study to the selected top ranked consultant probably after June, because GDOT is executing a PFA, Project Framework Agreement with Pooler. So after Pooler signs that, and Pooler will award the contract to a consultant. So the consultant will do the study. And eventually the study recommendations will feed into the 2050 MTP development as well. So this one is still in the process of consultant procurement.
Just bring information. We'll ask any further questions of her. Any questions? There being no questions, let's go on to the next item.
Okay. Next item is another study. It's the urban flooding model study. The MPO got the applied for and got awarded about $120,000 for this study. So MPO is providing a local match. So the total study cost is about $150,000. This is urban flooding model. So basically this will entail resiliency planning, like hurricanes, storm surge, storm high water levels. So more related to the resiliency planning, which is part of the new requirement for the MTP. So we selected, we actually did the RFP process back in November, because the first round only got two proposals, so extended the RFP process for another 2 weeks, eventually got three. So the review committee reviewed and interviewed all the applicants and then selected the UGA as the top ranked firm or top ranked candidate. So MPC is negotiating with UGA for a contract. We already executed the contract with GDOT, the funding contract. The detailed scope of work is still being worked on at this time. So hopefully we will get the final detailed scope work done this week. And then at next week's MPC meeting, we will execute the contract with the UGA so they can start to work on it.
And this is for information, not
for this action. Is also information item, yes.
Any questions for her? You want any more specific, any clarification, anything? If not, we need to go to the next item. Any questions for her? No questions? Let's go to the next item.
Okay, next item is the 2050 MTP update. We are still more than 2 years away from adoption of our next MTP, which is 2050. But since we are short staff right now, if you don't know, Mark has retired. Mark Wilkes has retired. Alicia Hunter left us last week. So now the MPO is composed of myself, part of Sally, and part of Asia.
How do you divide Sally in half? Part of Sally.
Sally also works on the MPC.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was requesting 100% of her. I couldn't get it, so I might get at least 50% of her time. Asia is also working for the Advanced Planning Department, so I'm trying to get at least 50% of her time for the transportation. So we are recruiting for new planners, but now it's like you're just looking at all the MPO staff, that's it. So we are short staffed. So we decide if you have with a regular staff, it takes 2 years to develop the long range transportation plan. Now you only have 1.5 or yeah. So we decided we would start earlier. So part of the work, we have about like several part of the work we're already working on. One part is the social economic data development, because the socioeconomic data development will fit into the travel demand model. And the socioeconomic data will also tell us what the MPO boundary will look like. Because after 2020 census, our boundary needs to be updated. So we probably, we're still waiting for information. We will keep on, keep an eye on the census to see what the Savannah urban area will be. And then after that, so we'll use the Savannah urban area plus the area expect to be urbanized within the next 20 years to be the MPO boundary. After that, we will do the bylaws, MOU update, and the boundary update. So that is part of the MTP update as well. So the socioeconomic data development and update. Another part is the updating goals, objectives, and performance measures. Well, we started this actually earlier. We started October of last year. So we're going to have this done probably in August, hopefully have this done in August. So we have already put the goals, objectives, and performance measures to the committees before. We also did a survey. So it's just a next step would be to hosting a public information open house or public meeting to collect input before we finalize goals and objectives. Another part we're going to do is the public engagement. So we're going to develop the public involvement plan that outlines our venues and the milestone dates and also the what kind of information we're going to present. So this is a part of that information we are collecting over here. We decided we know that we're going to do like brochures, flyers, something. And then we have already, actually Asia did most of the work, already identified these locations where we would distribute our information. As you can see, this information probably that including churches, community centers, libraries, and city halls and public events. So this is only list part of that. We probably will have include more information as after we know what our boundary will look like. We'll probably do some outreach in Effingham County or in Bryan County as well. Also, we want to make sure that we will cover west side, the midtown, south town, downtown, I mean, like east side, so everywhere we cover. So the public involvement is another part that we're working on. And the last part is, as I have mentioned, the freight plan update. Asia is going to take the lead on non-motorized transportation plan update. And Pooler is doing the US 80 corridor study. And we have already finished the State Route 307 corridor study and the State Route 21 access management study. So eventually all of those studies will fit into the recommendations will fit into the 2050 MTP because we might have more revenues this time. And also some of the big item with big price tags, the projects are already implemented like I-16 widening project, I-16 and I-95. So they're not going to eat up all of the revenues that we will have. So we will have more, some probably new projects to be added in. So this is just an information item on to let you know that we are working, we're starting to work on these.
I'm curious. You've had two people to leave recently, Mark included.
Yeah, within 2 weeks. Yeah, within
okay, recently, as recent as 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
My question is this, will it be easy to replace them? I mean, not people that level of expertise, but to get to recruit more planners. Are there many planners out there to be recruited?
We started advertising, but not that many. Haven't received that many resumes. Hopefully, I mean, I interviewed one person. He might accept the job. I don't know at this point. I just don't know because, I mean, the HR is doing all this. Yeah, so I'm just involved in like reviewing the resumes, conducting the interviews. Yeah, but it seems like there are a lot of positions, not only in the Quorum PO. I know City of Savannah has a lot of like engineer positions and a lot of vacancies. They are recruiting as well. Like, yeah, Chatham County advertised a lot of positions as well, but currently it seems like not a lot of people want to work. You have a lot of positions, but not a lot of people applying for the jobs.
What is your thinking about that? Why is the work going begging? You know, there's jobs, but people aren't applying. Is it that they want happy where they are, or just saw it moving?
I think one part of the problem might be like Savannah is not as competitive. I think if the same kind of position, if you work in the Atlanta area, you might get paid more. So we're not as competitive. That's one reason. Another one, I really don't know. The COVID-19 might be another reason. A lot of people want to like stay and work from telecommuting. I don't know. I really don't know right now. I just know that a lot of agencies have vacancies, but they don't have applicants.
So we're in a similar situation as other people, other places. We're not alone in trying to find people.
Yeah, especially in the professional field, the planners, engineers. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other updates you're going to give us?
I want to suggest one more thing. Yeah, this is Armand Turner. Just out of the organizations and agencies listed for outreach, that Healthy Savannah does a lot of community outreach and might be a good addition to that list. If Asia or anyone else needed a contact, I can get that to her.
Yeah, Asia probably will contact you because she's still continue to collect information on this. I think we will just when we have the detailed information, flyers or brochures, we will make sure all these agencies will be having the information. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Any further updates or status report? That's it?
That's it.
Go back to the agenda so we see where we are. Okay, so we're done with the status update. Agency report. We didn't request any reports, did we? So you have no report to give us, right?
Huh?
We didn't ask you for any information, so therefore there's no status agency reports for us, right?
Oh, no. I still haven't covered this.
Oh,
call
I'm sorry.
For, call for projects, I think.
Ahead,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. One more thing. Call for projects. we have some funding balance, Z230 funding balance in fiscal year 2023 and fiscal year 2024. And we're going to conduct another call for projects to allocate those funds. This time, something's different. So previously, we just issued the call for projects and then wishing the local project sponsors to apply for those funds. But and then we figured out it's like a lot of the agencies, they are not very familiar with the MPO process. They might send in applications wishing that they can get the funds, but they don't read the detailed manuals, so they don't know their project's not eligible. So we want to prevent that. So we want to do a pre-application workshop in June to get people educated. So we will try to educate people. For example, last time Puller, they submitted something, but their project is not consistent. It's not included in the long range transportation plan. So it's not eligible. So this time we want to make sure they are aware of that and then they will know the steps needed to amend the project into the long range transportation plan. And then also there are also the planning studies on like CAT wants to do a study. They just want to apply effort and get awarded immediately. We cannot do that because we have the two meeting process. So we want to make sure that if they have something, they have a planning study in sight, and we want to make sure the planning study goes through the two meeting cycle. So they will be discussed by the TCC at least twice. So we want to give them this opportunity. So we will just do this pre-application workshop, so get people educated. So if they already have something in mind, we want to say, okay, we would just tell them, okay, if your project is eligible, yes, you can go ahead and do the application. But if your project is not eligible, so what can we do to make it eligible? So we add that pre-application workshop, and then also the MPO staff will host a Q&A session to help to educate our local elected officials and the staff members so they can understand the process. So this is the proposed schedule. So we will start the call for project in September, in August, of the next August meeting. Another thing that we want to do is we want to build up a waiting list, because previously it's like you have $5 million in 2023, but all the applications add up only $2 million. So you have a $3 million balance. And then after you allocate that, you have to do another call for project. So this time we want to build up a waiting list. So if we have $5 million, we want to have the applications add up to more than $5 million, maybe $6 million, something. So in case that the one project, rental project, didn't get the funds or cannot move on, and we could get the next project to kick in. So we're going to do that waiting list this time. So this is just some of the thinking. We will have probably the call for revise or update our call for project menu after we do this pre-application workshop in June, and then we will get input and then finalize that probably at the June or in August, the meetings. So this is just to let you know that we're going to work on this.
Thank you. So that's it?
That's it.
So we're down to agency report. As I was saying earlier, I don't think we, as a board, ask you for anything, so you have no reports for us, right?
Yeah, agency reports, as you can see under the notices, you will notice the GDOT project status update, Chatham County project status update, City of Savannah, CAT, LATS. So all these agency reports are included under notices. So are you interested in certain projects? And we can just check those out.
Yeah, I'd like to, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to hear the Chatham County project status update, please. Thank you.
So for the Chatham County, the I-16 at the Jimmy Dillard Parkway, did you want to know that the status or what the project is about?
Well, I can see that, I know what it's about and also can read it. But it says not authorized, I guess.
That's the right of way status.
Right, I know it, but I mean, is there right of way acquisition involved with that project?
Yes, probably. Yeah, because this project is just the starting.
Okay.
Because they only held the initial concept team meeting. So depending on the concept, and then you will have a preliminary design, you will know whether you will need right of way and where, if the right of way is needed, where the right of way, that's the next step. That's why the right of way shows not authorized, because I mean, it hasn't reached that stage yet.
Right.
You got to meet all the milestone dates before you can get the funds authorized.
Okay, I thought it was a little further along, and it is going to tie in at the I-16 Little Neck Road interchange.
Yes. Currently the Jimmy DeLoach extension is under construction, it will tie in there.
All right, if you could scroll down to Quaco Road widening.
Quaco Road widening, look at the right of way. 125 out of 125 parcels have been acquired. So I think they're going to start construction pretty soon.
I know they had a couple of parcels that was holding up the commencement, but I see they're going ahead and
yeah, it shows 125 out of 125. That means all of the right-of-way parcels have been acquired. So the construction should start pretty soon.
Right.
The Quaco Road widening.
Little Neck Road reconstruction?
This one is farther along. Well, according to this one, it says right-of-way acquisition has begun. So far, they haven't acquired one parcel yet. So 31 parcels will be required, but none of them has been acquired yet. So right of way acquisition has begun. That's what it says.
As you turn from 17 and go on Little Neck Road up to 95, it's just going to be again the crossover, right? Not an interchange. It'll be the crossover.
It is now. Reconstruct Little Neck Road between US 17 and I-95, including intersection improvements at US 17 and pedestrian bike improvements. Yeah, I don't think there will be. I don't think there will be overpass.
You don't think what?
I don't overpass. Think there will be overpass.
You don't think what now?
You were asking whether there will be an like overpass.
No, the overpass of Little Neck as it goes over 95 will remain the same. Over 95.
Yeah.
Non-access, just bridge over it.
Like
it is at Quaco.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
I don't think it's like major improvements. Just the whatever, including intersection improvements and sidewalk. But I can get some information from Chatham County if needed. Because this is a locally funded project. Normally, they're not big.
I wouldn't expect them to put in an interchange there because it's way too close to 95.
Yeah.
And, you know, 95 and what is it, 204?
If an interchange is needed, I don't think Chatham County can come up with all the money. So they probably will have to apply for the federal dollars. But since they haven't, so you will pretty much know this is a like smaller project.
It's too close anyway. But on the back down to that about answers it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any additional questions for her?
Nope. No, thank you.
So where are we on this on the on agenda? Can you show us where we are, Dan? Okay, on the agenda.
One quick question.
Well, go ahead.
Quaco, the widening of Quaco ends at 95, correct? It doesn't go into Pula. Pula hasn't approved a widening of Quaco into.
It's a short of Pula. It ends at the border, because I mean, the Chatham County. I think Chatham County and Porter wanted Chatham County to continue, but they didn't come up with the like funding.
Yeah.
So it ends where the unincorporated Chatham County meets Porter. Yeah.
So they're going to have three lanes going all the way down from 95 to, I mean, sorry, from 17 to 95 on Quaco. When it gets to that bridge over 95, it's just going to slim back down to two lanes, I guess, huh?
I haven't seen the detailed design. I really don't know, but I know there will be like intersection improvements, turning lanes, because there are so many subdivisions.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
lanes. I assume one of them is, you know, a suicide lane. I don't know, but if you could get those plans, see, I've got some clients who have some interests on that road, and all they've shown is the plans and specs for that particular property that they're taking. That right away they're condemning. I'd like to see the plans for the where Quaco gets to 95.
Yeah, let me take a note and then check with Chatham County Engineering Department. They might have something already posted on their website, but I would check with Pam.
Thank you.
Yeah, to see.
Tony, would you clarify for us what's a suicide road?
Suicide is a center turn lane.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, a lot of people call the center turn lane as a suicide lane.
I think our meeting is about to adjourn because we've exhausted our agenda. I'd like to thank you for coming, and we appreciate the staff, and we understand you're overworked, and we hope that things will get better so you will have more people in Fruitton soon. Because you do a wonderful job and we all appreciate that. But we don't want to work to, you know, you can't continue to do it at this pace. You know, you're gonna just burn yourself out or the work things are not gonna get done at all. So God be with you, and we're gonna adjourn this meeting.
Yeah, thank you.